You're listening to Vatican Radio. The Archbishop of Canterbury's new representative to the Holy See, Archbishop Bernard Ntahotouri of Burundi, says his appointment will help Anglicans and Catholics work more closely together on key issues of reconciliation, poverty and human trafficking. The Archbishop, who will also serve as director of Rome's Anglican Centre, says his experience in jail following political turmoil in Burundi taught him humility and other valuable lessons about the responsibility of religious leaders. Ntahotouri served as chief of staff to Burundi's former president, Jean-Baptiste Bagaza, from 1979 to 1986. Following the overthrow of the government in a 1987 military coup, he spent almost 4 years in prison. After being consecrated bishop of the Diocese of Matana and later serving as leader of the Anglican Church of Burundi for over a decade, Ntahotouri has played a key role in local and regional peace-building efforts. He's also well known on the international scene for his ecumenical work, serving on the Central Committee of the World Council of Churches. Over the past 10 days, Archbishop Bernard has been here in Rome, meeting Pope Francis and top Vatican officials ahead of the start of his new job in the autumn. I caught up with him to find out more about his past experiences and how they may help him in the challenges that lie ahead. You have been here in Rome meeting Pope Francis for the first time, haven't you? What message did you bring to him, first of all?
Yes, I have been here in Rome as a week of orientation for my new appointment as the Archbishop of Canterbury's representative to the Holy See, but also as the director of the Anglican Centre in Rome. And here I'm very grateful to the preparation put in by my predecessor, Archbishop David Moxon. We met really the Holy Father, I would say, without any preparation. We're not planning to meet him. He had just come for the Wednesday audiences, where he meets thousands and thousands of people. But the people around the Holy Father saw the Archbishop Moxon and then waved us to approach. And I was very grateful that I was able to meet him.
And exchange a few words with him?
And exchange greetings with him, because I think that in October I will have a time to exchange a few words and explain my mission and my work and get his blessing. So we only greeted each other and he was very happy. We found that he was very well informed that I was coming here.
You're taking up your role officially, as you say, in the autumn, in October. What do you see as the main focus of your mission, the main challenges that you'll be facing?
I will mainly be building on what Archbishop Moxon has really started, and even the previous directors of the centre and representatives of the Archbishop of Canterbury in Rome. Our major mission here, the raison d'être of the Anglican Centre in Rome, is the rapprochement, is to bring together closer and closer the two major communions, the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Communion, which on their own alone have 1.4 billion of the Catholics and 8 million of the Anglicans. So that's a population that can make a difference in the world. Our major objectives are a witness to a divided world and a response to Jesus' prayer that they may be one so that the world may believe.
In the half century of the Anglican Centre, you are the first African director, we could almost say the first non-Western director. What does this say about the vision, the future of that Anglican-Catholic dialogue?
I think one is it's a recognition that the church in Africa, either Roman Catholic or Anglican, is at least growing numerically. There's a great number of Anglicans, of Roman Catholics in Africa. And then it's also a recognition that the church in general is universal. So that's, for me, I think that's the message. My appointment in this position is a giving to the world so that we work together. But secondly, is that it will be concentrating and focusing on some of the problems and challenges we have in Africa. And here we mention reconciliation, conflict resolution, all those areas, poverty, and even human trafficking that we see in Africa, where the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican voice can come together so that we may decry, we may really denounce these evils of this century.
You've been personally very involved in peace and reconciliation work, haven't you, both in your native Burundi, but also in the wider Great Lakes region and beyond. What do you see as the role of the church is today, in this important work of trying to stop conflict, trying to confront these serious issues that you're talking about?
Yes, it is true that in my former work, being Burundi or also in the African Church as chair of the All African Provinces in Africa, and also my participation within the World Council of Churches, peace and reconciliation has been my interest. In Burundi, I was the vice chair of the National Commission on Truth and Reconciliation. The word reconciliation mainly is a religious word. That's why I feel that the church and those who have faith have to take it very seriously. It is a word that talks to the hearts of the people. And that's where conflict also comes. It comes from the heart of the people. So that's the responsibility of the churches and all those of faith to bring people together so that you see the other not as an evil, a demon, because there is demonization, but as someone created by God to be respected, to be loved, and to be cherished.
Before this period of reconciliation work, back in the 1980s, you also served, didn't you, at the heart of the political divisions in your own country. You worked, I believe, as chief of staff under the military leader there in Burundi, including during a period when the government organised a campaign against the Catholic Church. How does this experience affect the work you do today? Does it in any way compromise the role that you're playing today?
No, I think it does not compromise the role that I will be playing here in Rome. At least it will contribute to my understanding that human beings can make problems to their work. The period you are mentioning was what we call the Second Republic in Burundi. And it's true, I was working with, I was in the cabinet of the former president, Jean-Baptiste Bagaza. I understood. I was not at the heart of the problem because I feel that that conflict was mainly a personal. Those who were surrounding the president then advised him that the conflict does not have a purpose. But personally, I think he had his own convictions. It was a struggle for power and a change of a climate, political climate at that time. So what I learned from that period is that you cannot ignore the role of the church and the presence of the church, especially in Africa, where people are deeply religious people. So that's what I have learned, and I think that lesson will help me in the work that I'm doing here.
You also spent time in jail, didn't you, after
the president was overthrown. You know, in Africa, they always try and clean, if I can say, those who were in the sea on the political platform. That's what happened to me.
That experience, I imagine, also affects the work that you're doing today, doesn't it?
That experience taught me humility. To be humble and say that what you're doing now at this particular moment is not an end itself. So one should be prepared for changes, but one also should approach any activities that God has given you with humility.
It's well known that Pope Francis and Archbishop Justin Welby want to visit South Sudan to try and bring peace and reconciliation to the country. But I understand that this, at the moment, is not possible. What can you tell us about the attempts to try and organise this trip together?
I won't really talk in details the situation in Sudan because I'm not well informed on that. But at least what I can say is that if the two, the Holy Father and the Archbishop of Canterbury, can come together, visit Sudan in the situation that we are in, that will be of great contribution to the process of peace. However, I think that they should really do that visit when negotiations, inclusive negotiations, have been started.
The churches play a very important role down there too, don't they, in trying to bring the communities together?
I think that's the role of being a shepherd. The church leadership, bishops and all other elders of the churches should really work seriously. Because the people are being killed, who are refugees, who do not have what to eat are under their responsibility and care. So that's why the church is working hard to see that both political parties and those who are in conflict come together and think about the welfare of their people.
Looking specifically at the Anglican Communion, the Anglican Church in Burundi is part of the so-called Global South, isn't it? With views that are perhaps closer to the Catholic Church than many other parts of the Anglican Communion. How do you see, if you like, these divisions within the Anglican world, which, as you know, many see as an obstacle to the ecumenical dialogue?
I think what Jesus Christ prayed for was unity within the Church, not uniformity. So I personally say those are the challenges of life, that a church, the Church of Christ, is not a uniformity. So the questions and the challenges that are there should also be discussed, received, analyzed, and then we learn, as Archbishop Canterbury has been saying, and I think the Holy Father has also said, learn to live together with our differences, but emphasize above all our commonalities. Because I think that in the faith of Jesus Christ, there are a lot of things we have in common and that can help us in this journey that we have. The prayer that we have of our Father, we say that your will may be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So that's what we should really strive for, and not emphasizing the divisions.
And yet many, as you know, keep predicting a split, an official schism within the Anglican Communion. Is this going to happen? Do you see this as a possibility or not?
2017, we will be commemorating 500 years of the Reformation. And we are not celebrating the division. We are remembering what happened. So I think churches now, at this present time, we should be aware of dividing the Church of Christ. Differences are there. They were there even in the first century. So we should learn from what the early church did. They discussed. They said these are contextual issues. How do we deal with them? So let us learn from history and not dividing. And my prayer is that we do not divide within the Anglican Communion. We continue, as we said, in the Primus meeting of January 2016. Let us walk together.
My thanks to Archbishop Bernard Ntahu Turi, incoming director of the Anglican Centre and representative of the Archbishop of Canterbury to the Holy See.